It is a, I count it a great opportunity and a honor to stand before you this morning. Situations and things this week have been kind of a tough ride, and you know, sometimes you just want to throw in the towel.
Yeah,
you know, it comes to where situations that you deal with, you just want to give up. And I had one of those experiences this week, and I just want to encourage you this morning in the Lord. You know, I have something on my heart that I need to say. You know, it's so many times when you interact with people and you form relationships, and it was a plain, simple word that Brother David said to me this past week that just resonated something new in my heart. Amen. When he said, "We're a team."
Yes. Yes. Amen.
You know, and when you're a team, it's not about you.
Yes. Amen.
You know, it's about what the vision is, or what you're called to. This morning, if I was going to give this message a title, it would be buying into the vision. If you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to the Gospel of St. John, the 4th chapter. We're going to read verses 29 and 30, and then we're going to read verses of the same chapter, 4th chapter, verses 39 through 42. And then we're going to also make quotations from Luke 10, 30 through 37, and Luke 17, 11 and 19, and then Luke 9, 52 through 53. And then also we'll be making quotations from Acts 6th chapter and Acts 8th chapter. Let us begin reading at Luke. And I hope you can bear with me this morning. I'm a little emotional, but I'll be all right.
Amen.
It says, "Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came to him. 39 through 42, "And as many of the Samaritans of the city believed in him, because of the words of the woman who testified, 'He told me all that I ever did.' So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed of his words. Then they said to the woman, 'Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.'" Activities within the kingdom of God often surprise some of the most loyal yet uninformed people. The disciples, who were trainees at the time, is in this unpredictable business, especially since God's ways are not always. and his thoughts are not our thoughts. You know, so many times I'm so glad that God's ways are not my ways and his thoughts are not my thoughts, that probably a lot of people would be in a mess.
Yes.
On his way to Galilee, Jesus made one of those abrupt stops by going through Samaria. And you know, if you know anything about the Jews and the Samaritans, then you know what their relationship was. It must have been something to have Jesus drop in on you, especially when you have been viewed as God's stepchildren by most of God's people. Our Lord showed great compassion for the Samaritans through the numerous times he cited them examples for the Jewish people. For instance, Jesus used this Samaritan at one time to demonstrate what a good neighbor truly is. And this man, if you remember in Luke 10:30-37, he had been assaulted or whatever, and the influential people, two of them, went by him and just left him because they considered him as nothing. But then the Samaritan man came along and he doctored him up, cleaned up his wounds. And not only did he do that, he took him to the inn and he paid the man at the inn to look after him and to care for him. And he said, I'm going on a trip, but when I come back, if the money that I left you didn't take care of what his cure was, then I'll pay you the rest of it. How many times are we willing to see a stranger that's been abused or been beat up or been hurt or that's homeless, that's addicted, and we're truly willing to just take them in our care? And you know, the Lord really dealt with me this past week. He said, these men that you see every time you go to Craven, some of them are the victims of all the heartaches and the pains of life. But are you willing just to walk away from them? Or are you willing to keep ministering the word to them?
Amen.
If you also notice the 10 people that Jesus healed in Luke 17:11-19, 9 of them never went back.
Yes.
But that one Samaritan, he went back. You know, that really exposes us about ourselves, that we're the affluent part of the church and we up on this high pedestal and we can't never say thank you. But what the Lord was really doing was, you know what? You need to see yourself. You need to see that this one leper came back because he was so thankful that even being an outcast, that Jesus was willing to heal him.
Yes.
Just like he was the ones that wasn't the outcast. And if you notice another situation that concerning the Samaritans in Luke 9:56 was when James and John, when the Samaritans chose not to offer hospitality to Jesus, you notice what these two top-notch followers of his, Lord, why don't you just call fire down from heaven on them and just destroy them? But you notice what Jesus said. Can you destroy somebody just because of their lack of responsiveness?
Yeah.
When we preach the gospel and somebody don't listen to us, can we just ask God to destroy them, or we trust that he's working something out in their life? But what's so great about this story of the Samaritans, it's just such a rich story of a buy-in. And it goes something like this. Jesus had come into the city of Samaria near Jacob's well. The Samaritan woman had come out to the ancient well for water, while Jesus' disciples had gone in the town to purchase food. Just as, you know, and Jesus asked this woman for a drink of water. And if you notice what the Samaritan woman did, she immediately, wow, here I'm an outcast, and you're willing to say something to me, to speak to me? You know, I can imagine she got extremely suspicious of what Jesus' true motives were. Now you know what kind of woman this was. So, and you know, and I would like to say her suspicion was, well, you know, well, maybe this man will help me carry this water. But knowing her reputation, that probably wasn't her suspicion. But you notice immediately when Jesus says something to her, you know how we can get all religious and all theological and we'll go to quoting all this stuff. And she said, you know, our fathers, you know, they dug this well and the big a problem is between our forefathers and the Jewish forefathers is, you know, which mountain did the Lord lay aside or sanctify for worship? And you notice what Jesus said. Neither one of them. The true sanctuary was the heart of the man.
Amen. That's right.
And you know what? I looked at myself this past week and I said, wow, my true sanctuary is my heart.
Amen.
I said, Lord, help me. And give me, or help me to have unconditional love.
Yes. Amen. Good.
For the people that you've called me to serve. But if you notice, Jesus said something to this woman and it changed her whole entire life. He wasn't critical of her. He said, you know, go get your husband. And she looked all strange and he said, that's all right. No need to worry about that. You've had five of them and the one you got in shorts now. But if you notice, he didn't beat her up. He didn't call her no off-the-wall names like we can call people or that we label people. But if you notice, when he had unconditional love and compassion for her, do we really have unconditional love and compassion for the ones we serve? No matter if they're drug users or if they're street people or whatever they are. I seen something the other day on the news that really touched my heart.
Amen.
In this park in Pennsylvania, this homeless man, he was shaving out in the park. Y'all might have seen that on the news. And this group of people, they pass out supplies for the homeless, you know, like deodorant, you know, shaving cream, razors and stuff like that to help them with their situation. And this man had put the shaving cream on and he was shaving. And he was over at this fountain and he was trying to get the cream, to get the shaving cream off him. And this young police officer walked up to him. And immediately the man said, oh, I'm sorry, officer, I'll leave. The officer said, no, I just want to help you.
Yeah.
I want to help clean you. You know, so many times it's the immediately because of the person's condition, they're judged themselves. When that officer just wanted to show them compassion.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so many times in this day and time the police have just been labeled all type of things but not wanting to give compassion. Do we truly, as the church, do we really show compassion? And if you notice, not only did Jesus show compassion, but he chose to stay with them two more days. Jesus never judged Samaria from the carnal reputation that they have received. You know, we must consider the power of the Holy Spirit manifesting in the mouth of a prophet who ministered by the power of unconditional love. Do we, as God's people, do we minister with the power of unconditional love?
Yes.
Do we show integrity? And do we have the knowledge and the ability to disarm people's defense mechanisms immediately by showing them unconditional love?
Amen.
Showing them compassion. And I thought about what this police officer done. He disarmed all of that man's thought process by plain simple words, "I just want to help him." But if you notice what Jesus done, the words that Jesus spoke or the words that he said to the Samaritans, he planted a seed there that would manifest itself a decade later when Philip came to Samaria in Acts the 8th chapter to preach. The ministry of Jesus continued through the apostles and the church once he returned to heaven. He commanded them to make disciples in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. Huh?
Amen.
Samaria?
That's right.
You want us to go to a bunch of half-breeds who are mixed with everything and preach to them?
Amen.
But that's what he commanded them to. And then he said, and not only them, but all the most parts of the world.
Yes.
If you notice, how many times do we overlook the ones that live on Skid Row?
Amen.
The ones that live in the ghetto? Will we go to them? But if you notice, Jesus told his disciples, and not only his disciples, the apostles, and so now that it's no longer apostles, it's ministers of the gospel, he's telling us the same thing, to go to these people.
Yes.
But if you notice, the apostles only, they preach in two parts. It wasn't going near Samaria because they couldn't get away from what they had been taught from the law. So they ain't going into Samaria to deal with them half-breeds. Well, you know what? If you notice something, Philip, who believed and bought into what Jesus had preached and what he had seen Jesus do, he bought into this, and the apostles, after Jesus died, they bought into it. So Philip bought into what the apostles bought into, and you notice what happened when he went to Samaria, that they were saved.
Yes.
But I want you to think about something. What co-signed what Philip preached and taught? What co-signed it was the signs, the miracles.
Amen.
If you notice, the deaf were able to hear. The lepers were cleansed.
Yes.
The paralyzed people got up and walked. All manner of sickness was healed.
Yes.
Well, you know what? Today, preachers have played on people's on their emotions,
yes,
and they pretended so much stuff that wasn't true. Who truly believes what we preach today?
Amen.
Who truly believes what we say today?
That's right.
If somebody was to get healed in the service, I guarantee you, it would be suspect because it's been going on so long.
Yes.
But the thing is, there must be signs There must be wonders to certify what God is doing is for real. I want you to think about something that was going on in Samaria. Simon the sorcerer had Samaria wrapped up and tied up with his sorcery.
Yes.
But when Simon seen a power stronger than his power, that the lame was getting up walking, that the deaf was hearing, that the leper's skin was being cleansed right in front of their eyes,
amen,
the sorcerer believed.
Yes.
And the word said he was baptized. See, the thing is, when it's signs and wonders of what we say or what we preach, it'll bring a change to your community.
Yes.
And notice what was happening here in Samaria. Simon the sorcerer had Samaria wrapped up and tied up, just like the drug dealers. It's got this area and all of your inner city areas and all of your country tied up, wrapped up with drugs. He's no different than what Simon the sorcerer was. But the thing is, what we preach, what we teach, must be some evidence behind it to break this cycle. Because see, the thing is, I don't care how many laws they make in the legislation. Sister Jennifer can testify to this, for she's a prison guard.
Yeah.
It's a constant rotating thing.
Yeah.
They're constantly coming in and going out. But if you know what? How many times, if we truly pray and ask God not to incarcerate that drug dealer, but to save him?
Yeah.
See, I'm living evidence. I was a drug dealer. You think because I went to jail and got out on bond that I quit selling drugs? No, I did not. I went right back. But it was only when the Word of God changed my heart that it changed my life.
Amen.
And I no longer sold drugs.
Yes.
You want the drug dealer to quit selling drugs? Then let it be an evidence of what we preach.
Yes.
Let it be an evidence of what we teach.
Yes.
Then he'll give his life to the Lord. Just as the Word of God and the move of God and the signs and wonders of the Lord broke the hold that Simon had on a whole entire city.
Amen.
The same thing could happen right here flowing from the Rock Fellowship.
Yes. Amen.
The same thing.
Amen.
The same identical thing. You know what? You wouldn't have to worry about the police. Because there wouldn't be no need if the drug, you broke the back of the drug dealer. Because if you break the back of the drug dealer, it's going to eventually break the back of the cartel, because he ain't going to have nowhere to pawn it off to.
Amen.
Remember what it said. How do you destroy, or how do you conquer this uncircumcised giant? Ain't that what David said about Goliath? What are we going to do about this uncircumcised giant, okay? I'm going to tell you what we're going to do about him. I'm going to chop his head off.
Yeah. Amen.
And when he destroyed the uncircumcised giant, all the rest of them left.
Yeah.
So when the drug dealer gives his life to the Lord, have you ever prayed and asked God to save the drug dealer?
Yeah.
Ever prayed and asked God to save the drug dealer? No. Majority of the time we want the Lord to lock him up. But you know what? I noticed something. See, when I was on the street, when you cleaned up the street, and by the time the crew that was out there went through the court system and went to prison, the crew that had got locked up several years before that, they were right back out there to take their place.
Yes, that's right.
But what if they all got saved? See, the thing is, have we went after their heart?
Amen.
Have we gave them the gospel? Or have we just coincided with society and said, lock them up and throw the key away on them? You know what, Brother David? Wouldn't it be great that it wouldn't be no more prisons?
Yes, yes, that's right.
That, you know, all those guys would get saved. And I know some people probably be upset with me because that's what their job is. And, you know, and I can understand that. But the thing is, looking at the heart of a man.
Yes.
Do we have enough true integrity? Do we have enough true unconditional love that we are willing to go after them? I remember Brother David preached a message at Little Zion when there was a great falling away at the church there. And Brother David says to the church, if you want them to come back, go after them.
Yes.
But you know what? Nobody went after them. Nobody went after them. And the falling away just steady and getting more and more. I want you to think about something. I really seen something about the death of Stephen that I had never seen before. If you remember, Stephen was a deacon like Philip was. And when Stephen was preaching, and then if you remember, Saul was one of the people who incited the crowd to kill Stephen, to stone him to death. And basically, that's what happened. But if you notice something here, Stephen had enough unconditional love for sinners that he said these eight words, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. Notice what happened here. When great men die, there's always a change that happens. And you know what the change is? The Apostle Paul, the one that incited the crowd, but when the Word of God began to be evangelized, because after Stephen's death, the rest of them dudes realized, you know what? It's time to scatter for our life. They're not going to be killing us. But you know what? It was God's way of forcing them to go out and begin to evangelize everything. And if you notice, only half of the mission had been fulfilled then. And as we talked about, Philip went down and he ministered to the people in Samaria. But I want to say something here. How many times when somebody really sins, we want the Lord to get them? We want society to deal with it instead of asking God, like Stephen done.
Yeah.
Lord, do not charge them with this sin. God could have easily killed Saul, who became Paul later,
yes,
right along with the whole mob that killed Stephen. But because of this great man of God's unconditional, heartfelt prayer, that the Father heard him. See, we pray all these fancy prayers and the Father don't no more hear them than a man in the moon, if we be honest. But you know what? God must have heard Stephen's prayer. Because you know why? Paul wrote the vast majority of the New Testament.
Amen.
Because of those words, Lord, do not charge them, or if you want to say him, or whatever,
amen,
with this sin. And the thing is, it changed the whole scope of what was happening.
Yeah.
You know, so many times we're so upset when great men die. I can imagine at the end of the Civil War, when Abraham Lincoln lost his life, what kind of tailspin that it put our United States in. But then, at the same time, it made a change. I remember when Martin Luther King got killed and the great racial divide that was going on at the time. But King understood something. It was better off for him to die than to keep living. And when he realized that, and he knew he was at the end of his life, if you remember, one of the last speeches that he gave, he said, "I've been to the mountaintop."
Amen. That's right.
"And I've seen the coming of the Lord." He knew his time had come. The thing is, but if you notice, no matter whatever happened to him, he really didn't want nobody to be charged with it. Didn't want nobody to be charged with it. Because he knew that in order for him to fulfill the purpose that God had called him to, he had to move on out of the way. See, so many times, after we fulfill our purpose, isn't any need for us to hang around.
That's right.
You look at the thing is, but did you buy in to the vision of your leader? Did the Southern Christian Leadership Conference buy into Martin Luther King's vision? Nope. Of course, it fell apart. The thing is, have you bought into the vision of the Rock Fellowship?
Amen.
Charlie Goff won. Have you bought into that vision? The thing is, the only way any ministry that you're a part of, that you'll ever be effective in, or that ministry will ever come to its true maturity is, you got to buy in.
Amen.
You got to buy into that vision. You know, all this time that I've been doing prison ministry, and then when the situations begin to happen to my body, all of a sudden, I was ready to throw in the towel. The Lord said, have you bought in?
Amen. Wow.
Have you bought in?
Amen.
Are you truly committed to every 2 weeks going to Craven Correction? Are you truly committed to the sure and unconditional love of those brothers? And next of all, are you truly committed to the Rock Fellowship?
Amen.
Are you truly committed to the home group meetings? Are we truly committed?
Amen.
If we want our cities and our towns to change, they can be restored through the preaching of the gospel.
Yes, that's right. That's good. Amen.
With power, they can be changed. These dens of iniquity, like Sneeze Ferry, can change from the power of the preaching of the gospel. And not only that, by people being healed, people being delivered, people being set free. Because if you think about it, see, the thing is, just like sorcery had totally consumed Samaria, drugs have totally consumed this community.
Yes.
It's consumed. So how do we break the bite? Or how do we destroy this uncircumcised giant called drugs? We got to buy in to the vision that Jesus left for the church.
Amen.
And this vision, we got to buy in to what the Rock Fellowship, the vision that God gave Brother David, and that we all chose to be a part of. Because see, here's the thing. Talk is cheap.
Yep.
Rhetoric alone, no matter how good that message sounds, no matter how much it stirred your emotion, but at the end, did it break any burdens? Did it destroy any yokes?
Yes.
Did it set anybody free?
Wow. Great.
It must be a corresponding action. This community must be changed.
Amen.
It's up to us to turn this around. It's up to us. Are you willing to do it? Are you willing to do the footwork? Are we willing to see this community saved? So here's the thing. This is your church. This community is your church. Because you know what? These are your people.
Amen.
Sneeze Ferry is the place that God has placed us into.
Amen.
So, that we should destroy this uncircumcised giant that's got this city ravished. And you know the thing is, and it's just not the drugs, but it's the fascination that goes along with it. And the fascination is how it makes that person feel when they first use it. But the thing is, that fascination leaves once they become addicted.
Yes.
Because now it has possessed their life. Will we watch our community be destroyed? Or will we put forth a greater effort? Will we really spend some time with the Lord and cry out to Him? Because see, the thing is, there's no need of us running to a revival that's in Newbern or Wilmington or Charlotte or somewhere like that. It's no need of us running to that revival. Because the thing is, those people there in that area have spent time on their knees crying out to the Lord that He would make a change, and then revival comes.
Yes.
So, we need to do the same thing here.
Amen.
And you know what? Gotta move. Gotta move. Move like He's never moved before.
Yes.
And just as all Samaria was saved, He broke the back of the sorcerer who had the whole city fascinated with their sorcery, what we call today magic. And you know what? The magic here in this area is drugs.
Yes.
So what do we do with the magic man? Break his back, break his neck. But you know what? How do you break his back and break his neck?
Amen.
Pray for him that God will save.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That God will save.
Good.
I don't choose to see him go to jail. I don't choose to see him go to prison.
Yeah.
I want him to get saved.
Yeah.
Because see, the thing is, I know what happened with me.
Yes. Amen.
And I know it can happen for him. God bless you. I love you.